Blog Talk Radio.
Make some noise.
I'm cold when I do this, don't tempt me. Won't walk the stroll and the label won't pimp me. That's when I was younger with my face all pimply. Now I be the runner, but I'm...
Okay, everybody. Welcome back to the Cookout. The grill is lit. We are about to get into a lot of interesting food for thought that we are getting ready to throw here on the grill. It's your host, TP Timeless, back at the building, or outside of the building, if you will. And I have my co-host with me, Barry Jordan, a.k.a. The Villain. Welcome to the Cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling like I need a new president in the house, but the Villain's good. We're chilling out here post-election day. How you doing, TP?
Took off my blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. I'm feeling some type of way, been down, but trying to lift myself up. Yesterday was a real big day in my life outside of the realm of the election day, if you will. But, you know, this too shall pass. It's a storm. Got to get through it. I like to use Tupac slogan, life goes on. But, yeah, I mean, I'm here. We got stuff to jump into, you know. Can't really get too threatened by what we got going on here. I mean, NFL-wise, we got a lot of news to jump into. I'll let you set it off. I know you had a lot of interesting things to throw out here on the grill. I mean, I can go to where you like to be at in the East Coast. I can go down south. I can also take it to the Panhandle State. I mean, where would you like to go? I'll let you kick off first.
Thank you, TP. You know, much love to you, my brother. Listen, you know, first of all, I got to thank Detroit. The D came through and pulled out Michigan. I have to get political. Sorry, people. But, you know, it's just what we do. But, listen, I got to start with the Monday night game. And, you know, my Giants. I don't like to talk about my Giants too much on the show, only when provoked. The Villain is he's a kind-hearted person. I'm here for the people. I'm not here for myself, all right? I'm here for the people, you know. But the Villain's trying to teach everybody what's real and what's the truth. But right now I got to go for Dolo. I got to go for self. Listen, I haven't seen enough of Daniel Jones, but I've seen enough of his turnovers. Okay, let's just put it that way. A lot of people around here in sports in New York metro area are calling for his head. They think it's time to move on. They think Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence is the better option, and they very well might be. But I think I've seen a lot of good in Daniel Jones, and I've seen a lot of bad. I've seen him force passes, try to do too much instead of making the smart play, trying to make the heroic play to get this team, the world's team. He's definitely a victim of not as much talent around him with losing Barkley and Beckham traded before he got his chance to shine. But the turnovers, yes, in Monday night's game just killed him. And you know, it's the same thing, forcing the ball instead of, you know, getting rid of the ball. He cost the team, I think it was 13 points, two picks, and then I don't know if you saw the game, the sack at the end of the first half to drive them out of field goal range cost him 3 points right there too. You know, the Giants are a 1-7 football team. Let's not mistake it, but I think Joe Judge is proving that he's going to be a good coach in this league. And I know the record doesn't prove that out, TP, but bear with me. I mean, this team has not, outside of the 49er game, has been in every football game. I think the defense is ranked at number 10 or 11 in the league. They're playing hard. They play well with the lack of talent, defensively at least, special teams as well. They just don't have enough offensive firepower to hang in games. But so when you're getting that kind of performance out of the defense and you're getting that that kind of effort, it's critical not to turn the ball over and to cost your team points and give away the game. I mean, even though everybody wants to say that that play, the two-point conversion play, there was pass interference, it's questionable. You could probably call it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the play was to Deion Lewis out of the backfield on a sprint out. Get rid of the ball. Like, what are we doing in year two that you don't know that you got to get rid of the ball in that pick play? So it's like, it's just the little things that, you know, we've had enough in Giant Land. He's got to make better plays. He's got to make the right decisions, and he's got to look like a guy that's been playing starting for 21, 22 games. And that's about it. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what your opinion is, if you're ready to move on. I know you're not a Giant fan, but if you've seen enough from him, or do you think he might still be the answer?
I mean, just give me a little bit, because I first want to say this. No, I ain't gonna do that. I ain't gonna be the villain. I ain't evil like him. I won't do that to y'all, Sports City. I won't. But
he
did that to Dak.
But you just did it.
Hold on. Let me talk. I don't cut you up. Look how you are. You ask me how I feel. I'm gonna tell you. I got to talk. I gotta tell him how I feel. I got to talk about the Giants as I see it. You know. So the crazy part is you gotta be patient. This is year two for him. He is dealing with no weapons other than Golden Tate, which is a shell of Golden Tate. Darius Slayton is a good receiver. Don't get me wrong. I like Slayton. Mm-hmm. Sterling Shepard has barely been on the field because he's injury prone. And Evan Engram, you may have, you know, I want to say quality and speed at the tight end position, but all you are is a receiving tight end. And that hurts teams, too, when you have somebody at the tight end position and you can't fool him if he can't hold the block for, like, a second or second and a half. He looks like a optional receiver. So this is the that Danny Jones is dealt at the end of the day. So it's like I'm trying to be faithful for him so he could turn it around, but I don't want to see the Giants go pick up a good quarterback out of college and then run him into the ground and then be like, oh, well, this is the same thing as Danny Jones and the same guy that they're getting out of college, whether it's Lawrence or whomever may be behind him. It feels if the Giants are able to get one of those two quarterbacks. But I say this is his second year to try to make a difference with this team, and he doesn't really have too many pieces to go to, and his running back got injured. So Saquon was the face. This is all in the lap of Gettleman, if you ask me. Gettleman made so many interesting bad moves that has the Giants where they are at this point in time. And you got to be, you know, respectful for what he was able to do. Dog, this is against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, one of the top five, top 10 defenses in the league, and he actually had you guys in the game to try to tie this up to go to overtime with a two-point conversion. Now, the play call to me, I think, was wrong. I think it should have been a situation where he could have took off. Like, why not let him scramble and pick up the 3 yards and get the two-point conversion? You did it against Philly, and Philly's defense gets after quarterbacks. They don't revisit that. They try to throw something in the flat. He put the ball in the wrong place, and if it's pass interference or not, if the player broke the pass up or not, that happened on the play defended. But he did enough to go back and forth with Tom Brady and the Bucks. So you got to give him that leeway, knowing he's going up against probably a quarterback that he idolized. And being in New York with the stage that he's dealing with the core of the roster that he's got on the offensive side of the ball, he doesn't have much to work with. He's doing what he can. I'm not saying this is great or exceptional. I'm just saying he's doing what he can. But I feel like the Giants are going to go away from him and get another quarterback in the draft for sure. But this is the hand that he was dealt. That's like going into a poker game and getting a 3, a 6, a 8, and a 5. You know what I'm saying? Like he didn't get nothing and had to try to go out there and ball. So I'm not going to be too harsh on him. Like, I get it. And don't take this no type of way how I'm going to say this to you. But it's true. It's not, like, directly generally coming to you. But this is the idea of, you know, spoiled New York fans. They want it now. They need everything right now. Listen, if you want that shoe to wear it, you can wear it. But and it's true. How many New York athletes that they paint a picture for them, they don't come out here and perform, they're after them immediately. Immediately. Like you got to be real.
That's
and I'm not saying that Danny Jones.
Huh? That's come on. That could be anywhere. That's not just New York. I mean, that happens in Boston.
But
that happens in LA.
This is what we see.
I mean, come on.
This is what we see. But this is what we see. This is the biggest sport market in America. No, New York City.
No, it is. But I mean, listen.
Okay. Okay.
A lot of second year quarterbacks make that turn in the positive direction. If you're trying to win a Super Bowl with him, I mean,
oh,
Russell Wilson went to the Super Bowl, right?
Okay, so 2005, did Eli turn the Giants around?
Yes.
They
won the division
in 2005.
They were
10-6.
They won the division. Look it up. They won the division his second year. Look it up. I mean,
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up. And his
stats. That's not spoiled. That's fact. They won the division his second year.
Eli lost
every game up until the Cowboy game. The next year, they went to the playoffs and won the division.
Do we hang this on the defense or do we hang this on Eli?
Oh, come on. Now you're trying to find other arguments.
No, because we're looking at the quarterback. No. Be real, because we're looking at the quarterback. Danny Jones has nothing. Eli had Toomer, Plaxico, Tiki. He had a whole core around him. These are one name players that I'm giving you. You don't. Who do I say? Golden? Do I say Slayton? Like, he don't. Come on, seriously. Saquon was that
no,
guy.
No, I know. But who did Russell Wilson have when he went to the Super Bowl? All he had was Marshawn Lynch.
Whoa. I'm not comparing Russell Wilson and Danny Jones. That is not the discussion here. Don't do that.
Let's be real. My fault. His second the 2005 season, they were 11-5. My fault.
Okay. And what was
that's the year that they got blitzed by the Panthers. He threw like three interceptions, I think a couple pick sixes, but either way.
Here we go. So that's what I'm saying. Look, he wasn't the one, it was the defense doing that.
Yeah, but he's still the quarterback that won the went to the playoffs. He didn't do it all by himself. I mean, come on now.
Barry, let's be fair. The Giants had a defense. Okay. Then they had OC. They had Strahan. They had Barrow. They had Armstead. I could go on and on about the names that I could come up off the top of my head without me looking at the roster or anything. You give me some names as a threat on the defense. You give me some names on the offensive side of the ball or his offensive line, please. The only name
he
you
had, Jeremy
right
Shockey
now, is
and Tiki Barber, who were Pro Bowlers that year. He had a Pro Bowl tight end. And he had a Pro Bowl running back. Okay,
that was a good offense.
So come on,
you're helping me. You're helping me. What college did Shockey go to?
Oh, come on. Next caller.
You're
We're not doing the U. Get out of here. Come on.
I don't want to
take the whole show up with Danny Jones. But listen,
you make good points.
But here's my thing.
Of course. Great point. You made a great point.
The Giants played out of their mind against Tampa Bay. You didn't hear Andrew Thomas's name because he played a good game against JPP, who was coming for blood. We had him on the show, JPP, great player, great guy. He came for blood, and you didn't hear his name at all. He played a good game. You know, the tight end, Ingram, came back, had a good game. You know, Gallman had a good game. I don't know why they took Gallman out of the game. He had a good game. But then you see Daniel Jones giving the game away. Missing wide open guys. I mean, he had Slayton on a go route. He had Sterling Shepard on a sluggo route, on a slant and go route. Missed him. I mean, he's missing guys left and right. I mean, this is, you know, he makes one good throw and then makes another bad throw. It's just, it's frustrating. But you know what? I don't want to take too much time. I don't want to talk about the Giants too much.
Hold on. Did he just open the door and let himself in the cookout? I did. And I wanted, this is the crazy part, because I wanted to introduce him, but he came in here trying to do his thing how he want to do. You slow your little tail down before you come anywhere near this grill. Now, first and foremost, let me do this the way that I do it. You know what I'm saying? Before you come out, hold up. You better go hug Malik and kiss him on his forehead. I'm not playing around. Now, calling out of the DMV, we have Aaron Simmons at the cookout. Welcome. How are you feeling this evening?
I don't need no introduction. Y'all know who I'm in. I'm pissed all the way off. I am furious.
How are the Dolphins serious? How do the Dolphins do?
Hold on a second. Barry, take a second. You know what really ticks me off? All right, is the fact that we are giving Mr. Powell straight facts on two different occasions, and yet he fails to understand or realize or see that what we're talking about is factual. Instead of saying, you know what, Danny Bitcoin or whatever you want to call him is screwing up the Giants, he wants to talk about everything else under the sun but the task at hand. Instead of talking about, you know what, even though Cam Newton was good at one point, even though Cam Newton, you know, we wanted to give him a shot, you want to sit there and talk about his cute, the fact that he had no receivers, the fact that this, that, and the third. At one point, Timeless, do you honestly look at yourself in the mirror and be like, you know what, I know football, and unfortunately, these two gentlemen can't get it done? I want to know.
All right, so we done,
about,
man? Wait, hold on. So you done so I can get at you or no?
Oh, let's go. I got an hour drive. Let's go.
Okay, first and foremost, we didn't start on Cam yet, but we could probably go there. The Cam News situation explains itself. They were in Buffalo, and he fumbled, and that they blew the game. They were 3 points away from tying that game up against the division-leading Buffalo Bills with nothing on the field. Like, you won't even give him credit for what he was able to do up against Buffalo and their defense. Are you going to give him credit for what he did or just look at the fumble and be like, that's Cam blowing the game? That's one.
No, I'm not going to give him credit because this is a routine and a repeated behavior. Okay? This is what he's done for the duration of his career. This is what he's done for the duration of his time in New England. At what point do we stop giving this dude a pass for being in New England? At what point do we stop giving this dude a pass for being having COVID or whatever other BS excuse you want to give him? At what point do we look at what's going on the field and be like, you know what? Yo, this dude does not have it. Sit your ass down. But when do we do that?
When he has pieces on the field. Look, let me tell you this. Who are you going to go with? Because I made you admit this on the post that was up there that you tagged me to. Are they going to go with Stidham or Hoyer? I'll wait.
Here's the point I'm trying to
make.
No, answer the question.
We got a lot to get to.
You're not going to keep dodging me on this point. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's Stidham. It doesn't matter if it's Hoyer. It doesn't matter if it's Cam Newton. Jesus Christ will come down again and play quarterback for New England Patriots. It doesn't matter. You have a job to do. Point blank in the discussion. Your job as a quarterback is to read your defense and do not turn the ball over. Period. If Cam Newton was throwing good balls and they were not being caught, you would have a point. If Cam Newton was protecting the football and the Patriots were still losing, you have a point. He's doing these. So by that admission, your point is irrelevant because Cam Newton isn't doing what he has to do.
Okay, you're telling me that he need to sit him down. So who are they going to go with again, Stidham or Hoyer? Give me the name.
It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter who it is. Hell, go with Stidham. And at least with Stidham, you expect bad play.
Stidham.
With Hoyer, you expect bad play. You bring in Cam F. and Newton on a 1-year improvement deal, and yet he is playing like dog crap. You and I can go into New England today and play quarterback better than Cameron Newton is right now. And I ain't put in a football helmet in 10 years. It's unacceptable. And since you're talking about Danny Bitcoin right now, or Danny Dimes, or whatever the hell you want to call him, he needs to get his ass out of New York, too. He needs to get his ball out of New York, too, because he has single-handedly cost him the football game. They should have beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They should have beat the Washington. They should have had a couple more wins. But this dude constantly turns the ball over late in games at the wrong time or is missing wide open receivers. And again,
Okay. Can I pick up on that, TP? Can I pick up on that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
He is Danny Bitcoin, okay? He's not Danny Dimes. Listen, Cam is the best option in New England. That's not saying much, but that is what it is. He cost the team the game. Listen, they were in the game against a team they probably should not have beaten on the road, and they were running the ball down the field to get the field goal to tie the game to push it into overtime. You're running to the left. You got the ball in your right hand. That's a recipe for a disaster. They knock the ball out. He lost the game. That's it. That's as plain as it is. Now, is that a microcosm of the season for him? Probably not. I think he's not. He played better against the Bills than he has played in the last 2 weeks. I think we both can admit that, Sirius. I think we can admit that. But when they needed him most, he fumbled the game away, and that's what it is. I think as a whole, I think he can still play in this league, play at a high elite MVP level that he was before. No. But he's the same guy that we've always seen, a guy that completes less than 60% of his passes, is a running quarterback, is inaccurate with the football, and is good enough to get you wins, but not the wins that matter. And I think that's it.
Okay, exactly what I was looking for. The answer that I've been asking for is how I got it. Look, I even got the villain trying to see the light. Like, I feel like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie House Party, man, and when Dad was drinking that gold monkey, and he's like, I see the light. That's what I feel like.
I thought you were going to go the other way. I thought you were going to go the way. This right here makes
nice. No, I won't do that on here. I won't do that on here. No, but you get the point. Like, he don't want to answer how I should have answered. Yes, I know that he turned the ball over in a critical situation. That stuff happens. Like, I feel bad that I'm on the air with him right now talking to a Steelers fan and looking at how Lamar is suffering right now. People talk about Lamar. I'm like, this dude is one of the MVP, but they talking about Lamar shouldn't quarterback. Who they going to go to? Same thing, the situation with Cam Newton. Like, yeah, I know that Cam is bugging in the first couple of games or whatever, but they still in competition to at least get on a string of runs, a string of wins, and if Buffalo start messing up, they right back where they want to be. So I'm not looking at it like, oh, Cam need to sit down and they're going to go over sit him. As soon as they put Hoyer in the game, Hoyer made one of the biggest blunders ever. They pulled him out immediately at halftime and put Sidham in the game. They put Sidham in the game and Sidham threw two pick sixes. Like, there's no way that they could turn any other way. But I'm not getting stuck on this situation where he wasn't even a topic. The topic was Danny Jones. We could talk about Cam if we want to, but there's a lot of stuff to get to right now. And just like I said, it's funny that they're going to pick on the little stuff, but they won't look at the good stuff that he was going up against the Buffalo Bills defense that was in position to kick a field goal, and they were in the red zone, but he fumbled. It's unfortunate that he fumbled, but people are going to hold their feet to the fire at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you're going to do that.
Okay,
get your point real quick, and then let's move on.
Let me speak on Buffalo real quick. I don't understand how you are talking about Buffalo's defense as if there is some type of decent defense. You're looking at the 23rd ranked defense among the league right now. Okay? I mean, I'm not understanding why you're talking about, well, he did this against Buffalo, he did this against Buffalo. That's like me coming in here next week talking about, oh my goodness, Ben Roethlisberger lit up the Dallas Cowboys for 500 yards and threw six.
Oh, please, Lord, I hope he does.
They're the worst defense in the league. Like, but again, keep it moving, man. Like, I just wanted to address both those points, and I kind of segue them together. But the thing with Danny Bitcoin, whatever you want to call him.
No, we're not talking about that, Colin. We're done.
They need to move. And since I tagged you in the Cam Newton thing, I want to get that out the way before I go through this mountain and lose signal and have to call back. But I want to get that out the way, too. But, yo, keep it moving.
Okay, fair enough. Barry, where else would you like to go around the NFC East or take it down south?
Well, I was going to get into the Patriots and the Cowboys because I heard an interesting segment this week on ESPN, which team is a more disappointing team. I think we could come back to that. I wanted to talk about the trade deadline. So I got to ask you, TP, I have my opinion, but what team, because not a lot happened at the trade deadline. I think we saw one small trade or two. I think the 49ers traded Alexander, which was kind of a surprise to me. We saw another deal, but there wasn't any big splashes. I think in a COVID era, you know, it's not a lot of movement that's going to happen. But what team really failed to upgrade their team going into the back half of the season and into the playoffs? I have my opinion. I'd love to hear your opinion of what team failed to upgrade.
I wasn't thinking along those lines. If anything, I'd probably pick the Packers right now because the Packers have their issues on the defensive side of the ball and have an offense that was putting up damn near, they're probably averaging near to 40 points a game and are losing questionable games. Like that, I feel like they should have beat Tampa Bay down there at Tampa.
Yep.
They only amassed 10 points, and they go out there and crush Houston, but then lose at home to Minnesota and give up four touchdowns to Dalvin Cook. Like, and don't get me wrong, I've seen Dalvin Cook all of his years in Florida State, so I know what speed damage this kid can do. But it's like Green Bay. But you guys to be a title contender, you guys got to shut the door at home. You can't let nobody run around their house and do what they want to do. And for Green Bay to have these issues still on the defensive side of the ball, that quickly that comes to my mind. That's the only thing that I could think of right now. We do have Nas in the building. Nas, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Hey, I'm cool, man. What's going on?
What's up, Nas?
What up?
Okay. So
I pitched it to TP, and I agree with him. I think the Packers are a team that failed to upgrade at the trade deadline. I think in both sides. I focused on the offensive side, but I think the defensive side looked that game against the Vikings reminded me last year of the championship game against the 49ers where they just got run all over. And it was just a paper thin defense where they were just kind of punching the mouth and the defense didn't do anything. But I think it's an indictment. They didn't get Aaron Rodgers the help that he needed offensively. I think, you know, they have a good running back and they have a really good, one of the better receivers in the league in Adams, Davante Adams. But I mean, other than that, there's no help for him. I think they had a trade offer for Fuller the fifth. And they balked on it because they didn't want to give up too much for him. I mean, well, what are you trying to tell me? You wasted a pick on Love, a quarterback that's not going to help Aaron Rodgers. You wasted a high draft pick on that. At what point do you not think a draft pick lower than that is worth a receiver that can help you get into the playoffs and make a deep run? So I thought, you know, it's really indicative of how the Packers have treated Aaron Rodgers over his career, not getting him the help he needs and really throwing out like average receivers at best on the field. And you know, only winning one Super Bowl with that guy. I mean, look at it. They had two great quarterbacks in Favre and Rodgers and only won two Super Bowls. I think that's poor. But I thought of another team too, TP, and Nas, I don't know if you feel the same way. I think the Ravens didn't do anything to help Lamar Jackson to get him offensive weapons, at least on the outside. I think they could have used a receiver in Baltimore to help that offensive attack. Now, everybody's saying Lamar can't throw from the pocket, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's true. I just think he doesn't really have outside threats, really consistent outside threats to throw to week in and week out. I mean, Andrews is a great tight end. They got a nice stable of running backs, but no receivers, no game-breaking receivers. I think they could have got AB if they were in the mix, but they just didn't do anything to my liking to help Lamar Jackson get over the hump of beating, you know, good teams. I think he's like 1-6 against good teams like Kansas City, Pittsburgh, when Ben is healthy and company. So he needed help, and I don't think they got any help.
Yeah,
okay,
I mean, I don't know, man, because with Baltimore, I think most of their problems, especially offensively, are about play calling. Mm-hmm. I think in some of these big games, they were so run dependent and so run heavy that it's kind of gotten to the point to where they just gravitate towards that instead of being, you know, as balanced and varied as they need to be. Because sometimes they've done what? Chunked it all over the field, like the Tennessee playoff game, and ended up losing. So it's like they're trying to hold on to this identity, but in that they're kind of ruining their play variety. So So all of the runs up the middle we saw from Gus Edwards last week, they said, oh, they're setting up something for later. They're setting up something for later. Well, I don't know what they were setting up for later, but Hollywood Brown was mad as hell after that game, and I understand. Like, Baltimore is going to have to push the ball down the field a little bit. So I would like to see more of that. Personnel-wise, I think they're good enough, though. I don't think it's a personnel issue. I'm more looking at play calling and Lamar playing better because, he's had three bad games.
See, I happen to disagree with that. And, again, if I lose you guys, I'll hit you back in a minute. If you do what you were set up to do, period. If you look at the statistics, they literally beat us all the way up. They didn't start getting in trouble until Lamar Jackson started trying to throw the football, which is honestly not his skill set. You know what I'm saying? If they run the football and stay ahead of the down and distance, they beat up most teams. And the games that they've lost, look at it. And, again, I'm about to lose you guys. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens tried to get cute and get outside themselves and start throwing the football around the yard, and they turned the ball over and put teams back in game. They had a 17-7. Turn the ball over, and in a blink of an eye, it was 14-17, and we got a ball game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So how does adding another wide receiver change that? You see what I'm saying? I think it's a play calling issue. I don't think it's a roster issue.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, if they add another receiver, then who out there are you going to get that's available that then nobody go get? You know what I'm saying? They're going to bring a name that's going to run the routes, and he's no burner. There's nobody going to be out there to help them at the end of the day. Just like Don said, the play calling, but majority of their pass calls go to who? Mark Andrews at the end of the day. That's why Hollywood Brown going crazy. Like, Mark Andrews became so much of the feature in that offense that they sent Hayden Hurst down to Atlanta. And Hayden Hurst is a good tight end, and he's making a difference down there. But it's like, as soon as they see Mark Andrews making moves in that passing game, it's like they focus on him. And they limit Lamar Jackson because a lot of that is going to him. So I feel bad for Lamar. The interesting thing about Green Bay has some interesting names, and they do get Lazard back, too, at the receiver position. But I just don't know. And it is an interesting stat that had me baffled. I did not know that this was the makeup for Aaron Rodgers. Do you know if Aaron Rodgers is leading in any portion of it? I mean, if he's trailing in any portion of the game, he's losing more than 50% of his games. I think it's like 60 or 65. He barely comes back to win a game. If he faces a deficit, he will lose the game. And I'm like, what? Like, this is the quote-unquote, some people mark him as the GOAT all time. And it's like, I don't know, man. So it's tough. As much as I don't want to let karma come and get me, because I know Aaron Rodgers will somehow get the mystique of being an awesome player. But I don't know how this hangs over his head year after year for him to be as good as he is, for being in the league for what I think this is his 15th year. He only has one Super Bowl, and every time he gets to the postseason, something happens. So
look, you can't have it both ways. You can't have a historic level of not throwing interceptions and also have a lot of fourth quarter comebacks, because in fourth quarter comebacks your team is down, you're throwing into tight windows, you're making risky throws. Aaron has always been risk averse, and that's kind of to the detriment of the Packers at some point. So if you're looking for a flaw in the great Aaron Rodgers, who I think is one of the best ever, that is a flaw, that sometimes he should take more risk. Like, I mean, that's
outside of Adams, who's the risk? The risk is throwing to anybody but Adams. That's the risk. You know what I mean? Like, he's got nobody to throw it to.
Goes,
I mean, you don't think
this receiving core. This goes to the receiving cores before. Aaron has never had a large number of fourth quarter comebacks. So I mean, this is
who did he have on those prior receiving cores outside of Adams? He had
Jordy Nelson was
solid.
Randall Cobb. And what's my man's name that went to Minnesota?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Damn. I just
had
lost
a spark
him.
When he
I
started. Yeah, what's your brother's name? He was good for a couple years. He was like a pro bowler. We'll get it.
We'll figure it out.
Those things go together. So Brett Favre, risk taker, has a lot of fourth quarter comebacks. What does he also have? A whole lot of interceptions, because he takes those risky throws, whereas Aaron won't do that. So, that's the dynamic of the two Green Bay all-time great quarterbacks right there. Aaron Rodgers, and Brett Favre. One's more risk averse.
I don't know. I don't know if that's like that. He needs to take risks. It's something. I don't know whether if it was McCarthy before LaFleur got there, if it's him taking risks. Like, I don't know. But to me, I think they needed to focus more on that defensive side of the ball because all the receivers have to do is run the right route. He got you. He's making dudes like Valdez Scantling look good. Lazard is looking good. There's not too much I can take away from Aaron Rodgers. I know what he does, but just like you said, you can't have both. And it's tough to be like, this is a guy that falls apart at critical point in time in a season. I just don't
get it. Greg Jennings. I knew I
there we go.
Greg Jennings.
That's who it was. Pro bowler for like 2 years, right? Greg Jennings was a monster.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a good,
then
he was a good receiver. But lately they haven't had good receivers, and lately they needed to help him out.
Right.
Putting Brandon Cobb on that team helps.
Right. I agree. But think about how they approached the draft. With the draft, they said, we're not going to take a receiver because we already got these young guys and they just needed another year in our system. So at the trade deadline, if Houston's asking for a second, if your mentality already is our guys are good enough and we're just waiting on Lazard to come back, it makes sense for them not to pull the trigger. All of us disagree. We think they should have drafted a receiver and they should have traded for it. But you can kind of see, that's how their front office thinks.
Right. I mean, there's no such thing as not having enough depth at that receiver's position, especially right now with all the players dropping like flies. I mean, you just can't – you don't know who you're going to have week to week. Having Brandon Cooks on that team will help. You know what I mean? Like, he'll be a nice complimentary receiver to Devontae Adams. But I hope Lazard comes back. But that's only two receivers. That's two.
He's cleared to play tomorrow. He's cleared to play tomorrow, so he's available for tomorrow.
And I'm putting him right into my starting lineup for my fantasy team because my team is hurting. But, I mean, with TP, I mean, honestly.
Which team is hurting?
My fantasy team.
Your fantasy team online or the fantasy team in New Jersey?
This is why he's not a hero. You don't need heroes like this in your life, people. I mean, this is not a hero. This is not somebody you want to be like when you get older. He's not a hero. He's a villain. He's a villain like me. He's not a hero.
Listen. My family loves soul music, and there was a song called "How Sweet It Is to Be Loved." Okay, so look. The crazy part, we're getting away from the topic that you wanted to address. Who was having a more disappointing situation, whether it was the Cowboys or the Patriots? I'm looking at the Cowboys, and especially what you said with all of the injuries that they're dealing with. That is, he like clears the slate on how many injuries they have to deal with. Think about their whole offensive line gone. Think about that defense and all that the defense is dealing with, and they haven't done anything to retool the Cowboys either. Like, that is a whole nother headache if we're thinking on, like, another team that should have made a move, and they are still in playoff contention. That is the crazy part about that, too. They are still in playoff contention. So the Cowboys are up there, too.
There's a thing that binds those two together, too.
Zeke Elliott, early before the season started, he had a corona issue and came back. I think we all agree Zeke hasn't looked like himself this season. Cam started off the season, two great games, goes out with corona, comes back, been terrible ever since. I think we're kind of papering over the fact that if somebody gets corona, just because they get cleared to come back, that they're the same guy. That might not be so.
Right. Like this is how they look. You gotta hear, Najee. Just listen. They was killing Cam. Like Cam just came back from the coronavirus. They was killing him.
And I'm gonna continue to kill Cam. He's been terrible.
Yeah, he's been terrible.
But he came back. Same thing with Zeke. He wasn't
throwing incomplete passes for his career before coronavirus too. I mean, come on, man. Like, we can't blame everything on corona. Rona this, Rona that.
Wait a minute. That's not blaming everything on corona. Week one, week two, he goes for what? almost a perfect quarterback rating, gets Corona, comes back, has been terrible ever since. Like, that's a direct, like, line there. That's not – I mean, this is what it is.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you.
My point has been this. I didn't bring up Cam. I didn't bring this up. I was done with that. Y'all brought me back into this. Here's my thing.
You couldn't wait to talk about Cam. Couldn't wait.
If he does not feel 100%, again, as somebody who has had coronavirus and is recovering and feeling better, whatever, if he doesn't feel 100%, he needs to man up and sit his ass down because he is costing his team wins right now. They could have very easily won that game Sunday. But he turned the ball over.
Could they have won it with Jarrett Stidham? I don't know.
I needed you here, Nas. It really felt like one of them superhero movies where they was coming at me like it was too many of them. Now I got some help. It's like y'all gotta punch him in the face. You punch him in the face and get out of here. Like for real, this is
Cam lost the game. That's all I said. I didn't say that Stidham, you know, they'd be better off with that. I said that Cam is their best option to win, and that's not saying much because he lost the game.
This is the terrible part. I want to ask y'all this quickly because I know we were just talking about the Cowboys. Do you think we've seen the end of the good Zeke? How about that? Is this the end of the good Zeke?
Before we do that, let's have the conversation with Zeke in the same way. Zeke had coronavirus. Has he looked like himself all season?
Yeah, he had it before the season started.
Has he looked like himself all season?
I think his hand hurts because after he signed his name on that big check, he ain't been doing nothing.
I was just gonna get to that, Barry. That's exactly why I wanted to say that because it's like I hate to say this about Zeke, even though I'm not a Cowboy fan, but it's like is he content with the money that he signed for? As long as he puts up what he needs to. Like he should be content with what he's getting because when Pollard comes in, Pollard is executing.
All right, there's people that I know. Can you play running back half speed? Can you loaf it at running back?
Well, you can't play any position in football.
He didn't get paid and now he's getting lazy. He's just been trash. Right.
I won't call Zeke trash. I won't do that.
I'm not calling him trash. I'm talking about his level.
I think the main theme is after he got signed, his performance has gone down. I think with Dak being sidelined and the defense playing as poorly as they had, they need part of it is the fact that the offensive line is basically now all second stringers. That doesn't help either. One of the best offensive lines in the league has been reduced to maybe one starter and a bunch of backups. But when they needed Zeke the most to carry the load of the offense and to keep that horrid defense, one of the historically worst defenses ever off the field, he's come up small. That's it. He's come up small.
So are we going to see Zeke back to himself? Because, I didn't know that he did have the coronavirus before the season. But will he storm back and be himself again? Or is this the decline
not this year.
Of Ezekiel Elliott?
Not this year. I don't see it this year.
They might win this weekend, Dallas. They might win on Sunday.
I mean, Dude, there's a way where the season plays out and they put him on IR to kind of get him out of there to end the season as this thing goes.
Right.
Like, that could possibly happen if this thing keeps going terrible.
I actually heard that somebody in August. Right. Somebody I know that's in the Cowboy group played that for me and said that they need to sit Zeke. And I was like, what? They were like, yeah, let Pollard get beat up because I think Pollard can run the ball as much as Zeke and save Zeke for, you know, better days or next year. So I'm like, that's interesting, but I don't know if they would pull the trigger as much that money that they threw. Well, yeah, that's what I said. As much money. Hold on. I'm trying. Like, man, you got to let me talk, bro. Like, you got to. Like, I got you. I got you. Like, I was about to say, how much money they dumped in the Zeke, he got to go out there and perform. Like, so that's what I was trying to say. But I think I got a lawyer in Aaron Simmons. Look, like, if I don't have to pay you to retain you, that's fine. Look, you want to do it for me. That's okay. You're funny. Here's the funny thing about
you,
the
no
statement.
Doubt.
I don't think they'll do that until they're officially out of playoff contention. As long as they're quote unquote in the hunt or in contention, they have to actually attempt to go out there and play winning football and attempt, and I'm using quotation marks, to put the best 22 out there. And unfortunately, with as much as they're paying him, like you alluded to, and the fact that he does have, you know, some type of juice to him or whatever case may be, he's the best running back they got on the roster. But once they get officially eliminated, then I can see a case where they want to sit them down.
Okay.
Here's another thing, TP. One thing, I want to move on. I just want to ask real quick. When do the Cowboys really regret giving Cooper that money? I mean, we're talking about Zeke getting his money. Cooper should have never got it.
You made me curse on air. right now, this is the bad part because I'm a Amari Cooper fan. Well, before he got to Dallas, I don't know what happened to him with him leaving California and getting to Texas. Like, everything fell apart. Like, this isn't the same Amari Cooper that I know from Alabama or was causing havoc while he was in Oakland. Like, He's averaging, no lie, he's averaging about 3 or 4 targets a game. Like, that's what he's averaging. Like, are you serious? Like, I don't get it. Where or what happened to Amari Cooper? They got him. Right now is where they feel at. I think so. Gallup is the one that's coming out more for the Cowboys, to be honest.
Yeah, but you can't do that after the fact. So, worst case scenario happens, and then you say, okay, we shouldn't have signed him. That's like if you find a nice Cadillac or something for the low, you buy the Lac and you go somewhere and then somebody smashes your Cadillac in the parking lot. Like, oh man, I shouldn't have bought that Cadillac. No, the problem isn't that you bought the Cadillac. The problem is the worst case scenario happened to you. That goes down and you got to play Andy Dalton. And then he goes down and you're playing some dude named DiNucci. Like, that's what we're talking about. When Dak was playing, Amari was getting 10 targets a game. And he was looking like the number one receiver you paid for. But back to the thing, I don't want to just poo-poo this. Just think about this. Next offseason, when it comes to free agency, if a player had corona this year, you telling me teams ain't doing their due diligence, checking that dude's lungs, heart, respiratory, everything before they start talking about signing people? Like, we're acting like this ain't no big deal. Oh, he's off corona. Like Madden, when somebody would get hurt and then you put him back on your, oh, okay, he's back off the injury list. Like, bro, teams are going to look at this in a whole nother way than we are, man.
Right, because that's the same thing that they're doing with Trevor Lawrence right now. Trevor Lawrence, he's out for this Saturday against Notre Dame, but they're saying that he has to pass the cardiovascular test. So I'm wondering how vigorous that may be before he gets on the field, because they're saying with him missing not only last week but this week, Trevor Lawrence may fall out of Heisman contention. So that is an interesting thing that you threw on that team.
I hope he got good counsel around him. Don't you take no tests. Don't you talk to nobody. Matter of fact, you might have to cut ties with people at the university. They start talking about testing you. I ain't giving up nothing if I'm Trevor Lawrence.
Listen, I honestly feel like Cooper, he's a quitter. I've seen him, you know, the last play last year against the Eagles in the game that they needed to win to get to be in the playoffs. The last play of the game, he's not on the field. Like, that's the guy I see. I mean, listen, he's a great player at Alabama. He had a nice little run in the Raiders. But this is this guy should not – they should have never paid him, and it's their fault for doing it. But you bring up a great point with Lawrence. I think his backup is just as good, if not, you know, maybe a little better. Yeah, I hate to say it, but the kid looks good. And you know,
he's from Bridgeport. I give him credit. He's from Bridgeport, so I like that part of the game. He's from the county, so I give him that. No, I'm not. He's not.
He looked good. He did look good, and I think he can pull off a game against Notre Dame. And even if they don't win that game Saturday against Notre Dame, I think if Lawrence gets back, they can run the table, get into the championship game against Notre Dame. If they win that game, they're still in the playoffs. So I think, you know, I think it'll be a bad loss. If they had lost against BC and going into this game, I think they would be out of the playoff picture. But I think that they got that win, they got out of there. I think it's okay if they lose this game to Notre Dame. But, you know, DJ, don't sleep on it. I think he can pull it out against a good Notre Dame team.
I'm not sure they lose this game against Notre Dame, to be painfully honest with you. I think they beat the brakes off of them.
Really? I think Notre Dame's got their best team they've had in a couple of years. I mean, that team that went to the playoff and got their doors blown off against Clemson. I think that this team is better than that team outside of the quarterback.
I don't think so, man. Like, I mean, here's the thing. Like, we could talk college ball, you know, until I'm blue in the face. But at the end of the day, I honestly think the way that Dabo Sweeney is recruited and the way that their depth is, like, I think Clemson beats the brakes off of Notre Dame and makes a statement. It's going to be interesting. But if we're going to talk college ball, you know, we got a top five or top 10 teams being postponed in Wisconsin. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not sure how that's going to play itself out, but that whole game is postponed. You know what I'm saying? Against Purdue, due to 25 players, you know, 27, I forget the actual number, being tested for positive. So that's going to throw a whole monkey wrench into the whole college football standings and, you know, entitlement game and stuff like that, man. It's going to be crazy, but that's in fact the hand, man.
I blame the Big Ten for this whole problem, Sirius. And TP, I don't know if you agree or not. I mean, if they had had a plan early on when all these other teams just postponed their season, and if they had a plan instead of saying, just, oh, no, we're going to cancel it. And then when everybody started to play, like, oh, I guess we can play. Let's come back. This wouldn't happen. Now, Wisconsin, yeah. Now, Wisconsin is not going to be bowl eligible. They probably won't get six games in to be able to play in the playoff.
Exactly.
And this is because I think that the leaders in the Big Ten dropped the ball. And you know, it's unfortunate, but I think you can't put them in.
I agree with you. They already had, like, several teams in the top 10 that they would not move. Like, they had teams in the top 10 that they would not move just because of their name recognition. They had Penn State in the top 10. These guys are defeated. They ain't win a game yet. You got Ohio State. They are out the gate with an easy schedule like normal, and it's incredible how they already. And Wisconsin only played one game, and they're still holding on to the 10th spot in the nation. Like that's crazy how they do that. But that's another conversation for another day, because I could pick on the Big Ten. I really think that conference is crappy. That's not the word that I want to use, but we are on air right now because I can really tell the Big Ten about how themselves all across the board. There was two topics I wanted to talk about. One was, you know, quick, my backyard, and I feel a certain type of way, and it's interesting that we've been talking about people dealing with COVID. Matthew Stafford is on the COVID list again, and the first time they cleared him, they said it was a false test. This time he is on the list, so they said that he may be able to come and play Sunday. I don't know how this goes down, how they're going to be testing him, if he's available. It is Wednesday, so I guess the next couple of practices, they're going to let that go by. I guess he'll be tested again, I'm guessing, before the game and seeing if he can go, but he'll have no practice time, and he's going into Minnesota for a divisional battle. Now, there is another team that I wanted to address, and I feel like Barry last week when he laughed, and I laughed at him with the way that the Giants were going at it, but it is the Houston Texans and the way that they're looking right now and how many finger-pointing issues that they're doing right now, including the coach that left and GM that left. And them getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins and that being a situation and all the things that they're trying to rebuild in Houston. Houston better pull this off this week up against Jacksonville. They're both 1-6. without Gardner Minshew. Minshew is out. So Houston better get this done. If not, it's more than just the coaching. It's the pieces there. And I can't really even exclude Deshaun Watson right now. Like all of them. J.J. Watt, where did he go? You don't even hear a J.J. Watt no more. Like at all. So that's another team that I want to point at. But to me, like in my own backyard, my own piece of steak that I'm throwing on the grill, the Stafford situation has me pretty concerned because this is the second time this year within, what is this, week 9, that he's been caught up with the COVID situation. One they said was a false test. I want to see how this all pans out. But Stafford situation is got me at the top of my lid right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Titans are a mess. I don't know why they weren't sellers at the deadline. If you're getting rid of Hopkins for pennies on the dollar, I don't know why Fuller, Watt, and Cooks are still on your roster. Listen, they're not doing Deshaun Watson any kind of favors. I mean, this guy could be a top quarterback in this league, one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And you strip away his best friend, his best weapon, and then you're about to trade away two other weapons, but you can't get the deal done. And you just paid him all this money. I don't understand the logic. I mean, you know, that's why Bill O'Brien, you know, he needed to go. I mean, he was a bad coach. He was a worse GM. That whatever they're trying to do in Houston's not making any sense. But against a backup quarterback, because, you know, Minshew was the backup last year. I mean, if they can't pull out this game, to your point, TP, I mean, blow it up. I could pull out a team from the old Astrodome and play this game. I mean, and they should win it. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Don't sleep on the Oilers. Ernest Gibbons, all of them, Lorenzo White. Don't sleep on the Oilers, man. I love the run and shoot offense. Heywood Jeffries, I can name all of that offense. Warren Moon would be the last person I need to name.
Shout out to Warren Moon.
I don't need to do that. That you said that. Boy, they probably like the Texas on fire. I don't know what you're talking about. Texas would be like, what just happened? Are you crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
They see a powder blue blur running by them on the field. I know that.
Telling you. Okay. Do you have anything else? I know there was one thing NBA wise. I know you wanted to talk draft. There's also interest that Daryl Morey is trying to get your boys here, Terrence Harden, to try to come to Philly. That would be crazy too if that did go down.
I wanted to bring one thing up in the NBA because I just saw it broke a link a little while we were on the our show. It looks like the players and the league is about to approve of the NBA season starting just before Christmas, after all the beef and all the, pushback on it. I think they're going to do a condensed 72-game schedule and finally get the season going. Not normally when they get it going, but at least have it at least for Christmas start. I mean, it's all about the money. I mean, if you want your full paycheck, you need to play a full season. And I get it. You just had the finals, but, I look at it from the other standpoint, at least you were working and you had 4 months off before that. So I don't want to hear that you had this bubble and you had you had your family down there, all that stuff. And then, you had a condensed season and you had the playoffs and you had a 4 month break, but then if you had a short season that would start in January, February, you'd still want your full paycheck. I mean, come on, you can't have it both ways.
So listen, I actually agree with you here, and I was watching First Take this morning, and Stephen A. broke it down pretty simple. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. The pandemic hit in March. Everybody, was gone for, 3.5-4 months. And then a handful of teams that qualified made it to the bubble, and he kind of broke it down like this, so the handful of teams make it to the bubble. You play 8 games, and then from those 8 games, a couple more teams went home, and so forth and so on until the last 2 teams were remaining. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, the league is set to lose millions and millions of dollars if they didn't come up with some type of an agreement prior to January 1. So you know what I'm saying, you're going to throw away millions and millions of dollars because you don't want to show up to work for 2 weeks early or something like that. It doesn't make business sense. You know what I'm saying? So unless your name is LeBron James, you know what I'm saying, who, you know, literally has been in the finals more times than people have toes, I don't see how the players, you know, have a legitimate leg to stand on, especially with the situation being as dire as it is. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, if the LA Lakers want to give LeBron James an extra couple of days off, I think he's earned that, you know. But at the end of the day, the rest of the league, you know, the Washington Wizards don't need to start late. You know what I'm saying? The Golden State Warriors don't need to start late. They didn't even get to the bubble. You know what I'm saying? When the season ended, you know, when the season was suspended, they didn't even get the invite. So why should,
right,
you know, they, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, everything in perspective, but that's kind of my take on it. I mean, I agree with Stephen A. Smith, and I kind of agree with what you said too, Barry.
But you know what, serious and TP, you know, I'd love to get your opinion too. Like, why not have the non-bubble teams start the season? Like, why not have them start the season? And, like, Jalen Rose brought up a great point. Have them start the season and then slowly matriculate the teams that played the 8 games but didn't make the playoffs. Have them start a little bit after that. Then have the teams that got eliminated until you get to the Lakers and the Heat. Like, why not stagger it like that a little bit or something to that effect so that at least you can start on time where they thought is on time on before Christmas. Like, you know, the Knicks and the Warriors could start right now. They've been off for months. You know what I'm saying? So why not start with them?
Well, to me, I don't want anybody to miss any situations like one team or the other get in there because it's not fair to people making a race for the position for the postseason. And that's one. And two, personally, because of my situation, they need to start before December 22nd because I will be in Vegas and they need to get this stuff together. So get some of them games in at least the week I'm in there so I can try to do something. But, no, I mean, and I know that you got Danny Green saying, oh, well, if they start before Christmas, LeBron and them won't be there. Hey, if LeBron don't want to be there, then LeBron don't want to be there. But at the end of the day, like, they had, what, 4 or 5 months of rest due to the COVID situation, so they are well-rested. And they should want to go out there and play at the end of the day. At least that's what I'm thinking.
No, that's what I think, too. I mean, like, you're talking about a couple teams that had just finished their season that have to restart again. There's a lot of teams that have been playing that haven't been playing for a while, and some, you know, got early exits. So, I mean, listen, it's about the dollar. You know, the Sirius is right. They stand to lose a lot of money if they don't get started right away. And you know, you get the TV money and you get that revenue from the digital contract. That's huge. A lot of the revenue share comes from that, but a lot of the money comes from the gate. And if they can't get these arenas open, and even if they are able to get some kind of fans in there, half or whatever, it's still money that they need. That's revenue that's going to help drive this league. So, you know, they got to get started on time. And, like, you know, if LeBron's the only one that wants a break, so what? I don't care. The rest of the league needs to get going. Give him a break. I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to me. The league needs to sustain itself. And, you know, speaking of LeBron, you know, his family friend was murdered in their house, 37 years old. I hope there's a resolution to that. That's a horrific situation out there. But other than that, listen, get the league started. You know, you got to – if money talks, then BS walks.
All right, so we are at the tail end of this show. We got a little bit over an hour in and got some good participation in. Unfortunately, people want to come at me with topics from weeks ago, but I still can cook and I still can get people to come in here and fight the forces of evil with me. Believe me, it felt like it's the end of the show. Look, it feels like it's the end of the show and you rip the mask off of Barry's head and you be like, Officer Smithers, it's you. Like this is you right now. I got y'all. Don't worry, man. I got the green machine.
When at the beginning, he's got the mask on his face and he rips it off, you know, and starts with, you know, that's one of my favorite videos. So that's the villain. Thank you.
He's trying to steal that from me, poor city. It's okay. This is what I do. At least I had 9-7 in the building and held me down, and you know, tears are trying to go at me with you, but it's good. I got people all over the country, man. Don't worry, man. I got people in Georgia, you know, especially my uncle. Shout out to Uncle James down there in Alpharetta. He built the mansion down there. Shout out to him. But you already know what time it is, Barry. Let's close up the show. Let's close up the show. We are at the tail end of the show. Give me plug, close out, shout out. Anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the Cookout.
Listen, another great show. Love having you. Serious Knox, thanks for calling in. You guys are awesome. You're tremendous. I love your energy. We'll be back next week, 9 o'clock, talking more sports. You know, hopefully don't have to dedicate the first 20 minutes to Danny Bitcoin and my sorry
that was you.
Giants. But
that was you. That was
that
you.
Was,
that was you.
That was a – I wanted to get it out of the way, but you know, it just, you know, listen, you get your finger in that pot, and then you know, you start getting the spoon, and you get a bigger spoon, and you know, so you know, it happens. But you know, TP, love as always a pleasure doing the show with you, my brother. You know, I'll see you next week. The villain is out.
Villain.
He's Sports City. He's supposed to be the bad guy trying to show me love. I have my boy Nas coming from the dirty south and take care of him. You know what I'm saying? That good old soul food for thought. Y'all can do the dishes, man. Shout out to my whole family, my whole entire family, man. Yesterday was my father's 10th death anniversary, so I've been out of it for the most part, but came back to Sports City to try and rebuild myself. So I feel a little good, man, just to trying to get that off my back. Shout out to America trying to do the best they can to fight the real forces of evil. Like, we play in the kitchen about the forces of evil. But there's some real evil people out there in the world that didn't even have to be told to go vote. And they still think it's all right to have disdain toward people in unity. So shout out to the people that are fighting that fight for the good of America, man. So,
and love your father,
about,
man. Love your dad, man. I miss him too, man.
I'll get to you in a little bit, man. You know, that's how brother be feeling, man. But just like I said, hopefully we hear some good news that one way or another that we got a president. Either way, the fight is not over. The pressure still remains on Biden if Biden gets in there, let alone if Trump is the president. You still got to apply pressure, man. Nobody give up, man. Like I said, shout out to my family. Shout out to my moms, man. I love you forever. And, that's all I got, man. Tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Dear God, I wonder can you save me?
Without it, for my mind, soul, and my body.
Dear God, I wonder can you save me?
Your society, trying to keep it out.
On these mean streets, none of my friends speak. We all trying to win, but then again, maybe it's for the best though. Cause when they seeing too much, you know they trying to get you touched. Whoever said illegal was the easy way out couldn't understand the mechanics and the workings of the underworld. Granted, 9 to 5 is how you survive. I ain't trying to survive, I'm trying to live it to the limit and love it alive. Like ills poison my body, and used to say, fuck my skills. I never prayed to God, I prayed to God. That's right, it's wicked. That's life, I live it. Ain't asking for forgiveness for my sins. Ends, I break bread with the lay hands, picking their brains for angles and all the evils that the game will do. It gets dangerous. Money and power is changing us, and now we're lethal, infected with the evil.